Good morning and praise God. I thank God for you and you and you. Thank God for all of you that have made your presence in this place this morning in person. Good morning to you, as well as those of you that are joining us on this beautiful day in December. This is maybe the 22nd day of December, year of our Lord 2024, and we thank God again that we are here, for he has worked behind the scenes in most cases to get us here. The things that we have not known, God has done to make this moment possible, and I thank God for that. This is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and we are glad therein. Thank all of you for joining us here in our Sunday morning service at Nations Harvest. It's a blessing to be here, and you ought to thank God that you are here. I thank God. This morning I had an opportunity on my way in to our services this morning to say to my son Joel Hirth, Sacramento, California, good morning, and hopefully he is here with us this morning in our Sunday morning service. Thank God for my eldest son. Amen. To those of you that are joining us here, we say to you good morning in all of the places that you are joining us from. Anniston, Alabama, to my mother-in-law, I say good morning to you. I thank God for you, and I want you to be extremely encouraged this morning, for God loves us and he will always be there as we cast our cares up on him. Thank God for you so much. For those of you that are joining us in other areas and places, not to name them all, but I want to make sure that I acknowledge you, and I know that you are here with us sharing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that is where God makes his presence. Amen. It is not required that you be in some brick and mortar, some building with windows and stone, whatever it is in its physical state. God is God with you. Where two, three gather together, that is where he make himself known unto you. I'm excited this morning. This is the last Sunday before we go into the celebration period across the traditions of the place in the world in which we live that is called Christmas, as they acknowledge the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it is beautiful. I think it is wonderful that such acknowledgement is given. What is important to the believer is that Christ lives daily. Amen. That there is a resurrection, that there is a rising. Right. There is a presence of God in our life on a daily basis. However, celebration is always in order. Amen. Amen. I just can't wait once a year to celebrate my Jesus Christ. I have to celebrate him on a daily basis because he is a daily bread unto me. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to move expeditiously into the continuation of this morning's message. I want to say also that we're praying for my wife, Cassie, this morning. As soon as they make ready to take time off after another year of operating the daycare, as soon as you start taking time to yourself, sickness seemed to just want to just attack us. And we rebuked that sickness on yesterday in the name of Jesus, and she's here with us this morning. I asked her if she's going to make it, and she says she's going to press on anyhow. Right. Amen. But we're certainly praying for you, Cassie. We love you. And we know that God's healing is there for you. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to move forward in this morning's message. Eternal God, we thank you so much for all things, and in all things we give thanks. You are great and gracious in our lives. Your mercy is everlasting. And we thank you, O God, that you have privileged us with the greatest blessing that a man can have, and that is the knowledge of Christ as his Savior. Thank you, God, that you took us out of the world and that you made a special place for us in your heart. God, you gave us the great gift of faith, a measure by which we can claim, God, our existence or Christ's existence in our life. We thank you so much for that measure of faith by which we stand so definitively on. God, we stand on it, we believe it, and we know that it is without him that we are not. Thank you, Lord, that you also give us a portion of wisdom so that we can also understand that it is not something that we can just whisper from our lips, but something that will sustain us in our day-to-day life. Thank you so much. Thank you that you have given us also the spirit of love and of sound mind, and that we have not to exercise the spirit of fear. We ask this morning that you give us your Holy Spirit, that we can not only gain a word of information, but God, there will come forth revelation, something that is said this morning, God, that will hold us together, that will be an answer to our questions, solution to our problem, direction to our path. Your word, O God, is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our pathway. We give ourselves wholly now to your word. The Holy Spirit will come in, whisper to us, will cause us to understand. Thank you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. It was so beautiful last week, excuse me, as we started, and I want to continue with another installment from revelation to manifestation, from revelation to manifestation. It was so beautiful that we were able to follow from the Holy Bible the visitation of the Holy Spirit to both Mary and to Elizabeth, the mother of Jesus being Mary and the mother of John the Baptist being Elizabeth. We see the power of God. We see the presence of God in the lives of this humankind, these human being people who live as we do, walk as we do, experience the fullness of God in their day-to-day life. Gabriel, the angel that is named from last week, made visitation to these women, made visitation to the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, to let him know what was about to transpire in the ordinariness of his everyday life. Strange as it seemed to him, this is just simply a recap, that in his old age, God chooses to make visitation to John the Baptist, to Zacharias, the father, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, to give him this notification by what is now the word of God concerning him in his older age. What is about to transpire in the ordinary day-to-day operation of his life. It's interesting how that God makes visitation to the three people or the three persons that we spoke of last year, the father of John the Baptist, the mother of John the Baptist, and the mother of Jesus Christ. And how that in their individual lives, God climaxes and consummates the visitation that he made to them individual to come to a corporate conclusion. Individually, he visited them. But in the climax, in the conclusion, each visitation comes together as the fetus, Jesus Christ, in the womb of Mary and in the womb of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, how that they come together and we see the result of the power of God when that which is given individual comes into the corporate space. We're the ones who say all things, and I don't know how inclusive we're making all things when we say all things work together to the good. Are those the things that we approve and disapprove of? Or when we say all things, are we making all things inclusive, meaning whether we judge it to be good or bad or indifferent, are we making those things inclusive also when we say that they work together to the good? Are we the ones who judge, well, this is not going to be good for me, but this is going to be good for me. This person is not going to be good for me, but that person is going to be good for me. Or are we so in tune in our relationship with God that all things, regardless to how it is judged, is going to work positively in my favor because this is the will of God concerning me? It really takes us to set our minds wholly as this whole, the premise or the backbone or the substratum of what I'm talking about is our maturation and our growth in our relationship with God, because it cannot become stagnant. We cannot simply rely upon the idea that I know God and I'm saved and then that's enough. It's because you're going to have to operate through the circumstances in the conditions of every day with things that are not always going to be favorable. Amen. So you're going to have to know God in the things that are going to work positively for you or the things that will come towards you as a stumbling block. You've got to know him so much so that you can say all things regardless of what happens today in my growing and maturing relationship with God. Everything has to work in my favor. Not some things. I can't reconstruct the text to fit my life and say, well, not all things, but most things. No, you can't rewrite it. You have to bring yourself to the matured level whereby you can declare that all things are working favorable to me. The word revelation is divine. And whenever the word divine is used, it means of God, from God. So revelation is of God, from God, or in simple terms, or the articulation of the English language, divine. Revelation is the divine or supernatural disclosure to humans, something relating to your human existence or the world around you. I'm going to say that once more again. Revelation is of God, from God. A supernatural disclosure to you, the recipient, his creation. Something that is relating to you, your existence, and the world that is around you. Revelation can only come from God. God reveals. Any person that ever come to you and tell you that they're about to give you a revelation has just lied to you, because there is no way that they can disclose to you the unknowns of God. They can give you, I can give you information that may lead to revelation. I can share with you something that will position you or cause you to direct your mind, your heart, or your attention towards God in order for God to give you a revelation. I can point you. I can instruct you. I can teach you. But I cannot give you revelation. As much as we are often feeling as though that the human man or the humankind is giving us something that we did not know, in a revelatory way, that individual is simply giving us information that can lead to revelation. When God expresses his power in what you have known me to teach over the years, which is the revelatory expression of God, when God expresses his power in a tangible or visible form, it is then called manifestation. Understand the two. Revelation is God disclosing something to the human person or to his creation. When God expresses it in a visible or tangible form, what is it called then? Manifestation. All right? What God reveals is only brought to you. When it is made manifest, others can see God's power, a disclosure that has been given to you. Are y'all with that? Manifestation can be the form in three different ways: in an idea, in a quality, or in feeling. Manifestation how? In an idea, in quality, or in a feeling. So how does God manifest? Notice that what God revealed to Mary, y'all look up, what God revealed to Mary in that she had received of the Holy Ghost and conceived into her body the Spirit of God, the spoken word of God, now impregnated by the word of God, revelation is made manifest when she comes in contact with whom? Elizabeth. Now there is manifestation. It is made known to someone else what God has revealed to you. The manifestation of what is revealed to Mary is displayed when Elizabeth's fetus jumps inside her womb. Manifestation. It was so powerful that Elizabeth feels as though that she is prematurely going into labor, because how many months pregnant is she at the point that she comes and has this visit from Mary? How many months? 6 months pregnant. And if she starts to give birth and she is in fact in labor pains at 6 months, is this not premature? Now, when she feels her child jump in her womb, it is both. It's tangible, and it can be visible. When the unborn moves inside the mother can feel it, and others can see it. A mother loves, when her child is unborn, to have someone else have the opportunity to see the movement, to show the life, to show the vitality of what is yet unborn. She feels it. Others can see it. Manifestation. Manifestation is the visible, tangible. Revelation is what is conveyed or communicated from God to the individual. So I need to fully understand, though they are closely related, the difference between revelation and manifestation. What is revealed may not be seen, felt, heard, or have the quality of something that exists. But when it is made manifest, now we know. Now we know. I want you to see that this plays very close with what you are declaring in your faith. It's because my faith is now dependent upon the consistent and the persistent revelation from God. It is the unseen. For now faith is the what? Substance. It is not the existence. It is the substance. It is the unseen. All right? It is the unseen. It is the hypostasis. It is the unseen. Faith is that. Faith is what is being revealed but yet not seen. But because others don't see it does not mean that it has not yet been revealed. Tell your neighbor, because you don't see it doesn't mean that God did not say it. That's right. When God say it, I do what? Believe it. That's how I grow in God. God, if you say it, I believe it, even though I have not yet seen it. And I'm not going to frustrate and aggravate myself with people who choose not to embrace me because of what I have received from God. Don't frustrate yourself. This is why when Jesus decided to take Peter, James, and John into the mountain that is called Transfiguration, when they saw what they saw, Jock, in that mountain, he gave them specific instructions when they came down, tell no man. Because they are going to be what has been revealed to you in the manifestation of God's power in this mountain, for you trying to share that with someone else is only going to aggravate you and frustrate you, because they are not going to believe what you're saying just happened. Because you just saw me be transformed into three beings, myself, Moses, and Elijah. Now you go and you talk about that around the dinner table, good luck. It's because you have now become the subject of the rest of the evening. I told you. I told you they were losing it. Now they're talking about they saw Jesus transform into three beings. Don't bother yourself trying to get others to understand what God has revealed to you in his time. The same one that gave the revelation will bring forth in power manifestation. This is not the subject, but I want to share it right here. This is what has come known as the glory of God. It's not you, but it is to his glory. Because when he gets ready for others to see it, he's going to get glory out of you through the manifestation of what he has done. So that you don't have to say, but others will say, I take you back to Calvary. You've saved others, save yourself. Jesus has no words. And they mock him. And they talk about him. He has no words. When from the sixth to the ninth hour, Darkness fell upon the earth. Somebody say manifestation. This is unexplained. Why is it dark at noonday? Manifestation. When we hear the rumbling and the roarings of heaven that declares down from heaven, I've glorified you once and I'll glorify you again. And someone in the crowd said it thundered. Somebody say manifestation. After all of these great manifestations at Calvary, someone from the ground level looked up to Calvary's level and said, truly, this is the Son of God. God gets the glory out of his Son because now others know what God is doing. It will be made manifest what God is doing in your life. God's going to get the glory out of it. You don't have to be a showboat. You don't have to be a show off. You don't have to be a star. You don't need front stage. I've declared in my later days, at this age where I'm too old now for you to say anything to me about too much of anything, I'm not making stage for people. You don't make platforms for people. That's why social media sometimes can be so aggravating for you, is because people who have not the ability to create their own stage will use your stage because of something that they cannot do for themselves. Don't create platforms and stages for others to show themselves. Let them rely on building their relationship with God so that they can make their own stage. Don't be a platform for others. I don't know where that come from, but it just needed to be heard. Stop making space for others. Well, I'm just about to say what's on my mind. Keep it on your mind. Because someone out there is going to tempt you to take this into a long conversation, and you find yourself now trying to explain something that can't be explained anyway. Just don't start it. When it comes, and I want to stop right there and take a pause so that I can give you a scripture and we can work from there. In the book of Ephesians, then I'm going to go back to that transfiguration so that I can pull one of those characters. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we must understand that our growing and maturing relationship with Jesus Christ is dependent upon a how often experience. Somebody say daily. My growing and maturing relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is growing, it is maturing, but my growing and maturing relationship with God, because I don't know it all, I'm growing every day, I'm maturing every day, and it is dependent upon a daily experience through both revelation and manifestation. How often do you need it? Daily. How often do you need a revelation from God? Daily. How often do you need a manifestation from God? Daily. That is the fuel for a growing relationship with God. If you are alive, and if you have to pinch yourself, you do what you have to do. The only reason that you can feel your pinch is because God got you up to show you something that you don't already know about him. What other reason would you be here? I'm about to reveal. I'm about to be glorified in you today. In Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 15, Paul says to them at Ephesus, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all of the saints, after that I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in all of my prayers. Listen to him. What are you praying for me for, Paul? And as he's praying for them, I pray also for you who are hearing my voice now, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation. I'm praying that God reveals to you. I'm praying that you have wisdom. I'm praying. Not what I'm going to put under a Christmas tree for you on one day out of the year. Not for what gift is going to be wrapped in some paper that can simply be burned and cease to exist. But something that is going to last and sustain you throughout eternity. And that is the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. To come to know God. So now, how can one know God? And the only way? Through revelation. God has to reveal Himself to you in order for you to know Him. You have not chosen Him, but He has chosen you. He goes on, there's only a colon there. He says, not only in continuation that God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, but that the eyes of your understanding be what? Enlightened. So that you can know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of His glory and of His inheritance in the saints. Because it's sometimes really bewildering to me when someone says, I'm trying to discover and find out what my purpose is in life. Until God reveals Himself to you, you will continue in the lack of knowledge of what your purpose is.
Right.
Your purpose does not remain the same. Your purpose changes. God fulfills just like excellence. Purpose is much like excellence or perfection. I rescind excellence and use perfection. There are some things that you have perfected. Does that make you perfect? No, but does it mean that you've not perfected anything? No, babe, my sister, that cake you perfected, I ate it. It was perfect. Make another one. But still, there is improvement. I wanted you to get the gist of perfected. We perfect things, and they are done. But yet, we go on unto perfection. We move on. We continue. But have we perfected some things? Yes, we have. And then we move on in excellence. He says that we're continuing so that we can know the hope of His calling and what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in His saints. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness? What is the exceeding greatness? Purpose fulfilled. Purpose continued. Continue. My purpose is not only what God has done for me. My purpose is what God is fulfilling in me. It is what God is going to do next in me. What is your purpose? Keep your eyes on me and you'll see. My purpose, catch this, people. My purpose is what God is about to do next. Anybody else in here like that? Like I like that? That's strong right there. My purpose is what God is about to do next. Because God is about to do something. Because God is about to reveal. And my purpose is fulfilled each time God reveals. It's what's next.
All right.
It is what God has done. Understand the power of the prophet who says, I was once young. He's not talking about from 16 years old to 86 or 90 years old. He is saying, I was once young in a split second, and now I'm old. He is saying that there is not a second that passed in my life that I have seen the righteous forsaken. Never have I seen it. And I go through this. Look, I'm young every second of the day, and in that same second, I'm old. Are y'all getting this? I'm not saying that I have to wait, Keisha, from 16 till I get 80 years old to see how good God is. I can go from 16 to 60 in 1 hour and show you that God will not forsaken us. Neither will his seed beg bread. And how long? 1 hour. I don't have to wait until I get old. Amen. Purpose. It's what God is about to do next in my life. I'm convinced that God will do something next because of the things that he have done in my life. And what is the exceeding greatness? Exceeding greatness. Take this word, digest it, people. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward. God making himself powerful through me. To his glory, according to the working of his mighty power. Boy, you guys need to take this. I saw a video, and sometime, you know, they just play the next one. I was looking at something inspirational, and I heard this guy, and he was trying to take out a pastor on a huge platform. Because I told you, he don't have a platform. So you know whose platform he wanted to stand on? Noel Jones. Because he don't have one. Noel been preaching out of Kingston, Jamaica, since he was a teenager, and that man's 70, getting close to 80 years old. And this dude don't have a platform, so you know what he want to do? He want to get one of these podcasts and start taking a snippet from Noel Jones, and Noel Jones is expressing in his way because he's so philosophical, and you know he's one of the most profound orators that there is. The dude is just that way. God just gifted him with a flow of words, and he says, takes a snippet from this man and said that Noel Jones was saying God doesn't really exist. He's just a figment of our imagination. Simply because Noel said, talking about the concepts of God. And the concepts of God, meaning that if God is something to you and he did this and you haven't experienced him that way, then that's how you know God is through your experience, right? Well, someone else didn't experience him like that, they experienced him in a different way. Well, this guy takes that snippet because he don't have a stage. So you know whose stage he used? Y'all talk back to me. Noel Jones. To talk about who? Noel Jones. I tell you what you do. Before you talk about him, you first go back and you take you a real good English class, sit in a philosophy class, understand the measures and the languages that this man can articulate and the gift that God had him, and then you create yourself somewhere so somebody can come and talk about you, because ain't nobody talking about you. Y'all grab what I'm saying? He takes this man's platform to, and everybody's doing it now. Y'all don't even like P. Diddy, but you want to take him out. You want to judge him. You want to be the judge and the jury over this man's life, and y'all want to talk about his baby oil. And you look and see what you got in your cabinet. I'm just being straightforward. Now everybody else want to ride on the platform. You did it to Bill Cosby. You do it to everybody else. You did it to Will Smith. Why ain't y'all talking about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock no more? Because ain't nobody looking at that stage no more. We moved to where we can talk about stuff that we know absolutely nothing about because we don't have our own stage. Talk about something that people want to hear from you. Other than that, stop taking everybody else out. You're going to front stage them. The first thing I said when he got up and he slept, and when you have as much money as he have and you can sit at what he's sitting at,
then you go slap somebody. But until then, until you got the money he got, then just hold your peace, because it don't really, you're not going to get paid because of what you say. But both of them, both the slappy and the slapper, is getting paid. And we don't know who slapped who, and we don't know how real it is. It's because John Wayne got shot and fell off the horse 50,000 times, and he ain't dead. So was he really slapped or not? But they got you talking about it. They're making money by you talking about it. Come on, people. I'm preaching. Get something that God is about to make profound in your life. In the Bible, God reveals himself midway, closer to close, and I am midway. God reveals himself. Last week it were who? Mary, Zechariah, and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, let me start them all right. Zechariah, Elizabeth, and then Mary. The Holy Spirit makes visitation. Comes in both revelation and manifestation. This gets powerful here. This week, God reveals himself to Elijah. Last time we saw Elijah, God told him to go and let them know that it wasn't going to rain. It was going to hold up for a period of 3 years. It's going to be a drought. Sends him down to a brook. Has that brook to be water for him. How does he feed him? Through dirty birds, which are ravens. Then when the brook dried up, God had already made provisions to him. Comes in, tells him to go to a widow at Zarephath. First thing he says to the woman is, give me some water and some food. This is that same Elijah. Work with me now. When God made himself manifest, Jesus made himself manifest in the mountain of transfiguration, who did he transfigure himself into? Three persons, Moses, Jesus, and Elijah. This is Elijah that I'm talking about. Go to 1 Kings chapter 19. From revelation to manifestation. 1 Kings chapter 19. Last week it was them. This week, watch the process of God revealing himself to the humankind. See it unfold right here. God disclosing through the divine. 1 Kings 19. I'm going to start at 1 so that I can make this colorful. Not dramatic, but colorful. Difference of the two is so that it can brighten your understanding. But I don't want to dramatize this. Ahab is the king. Elijah is the prophet. I'm in verse number 1 of 19. Ahab is the king. Elijah is the prophet. The king has to subject himself to the prophet, right? God's word, message comes through the prophet. God intends for the prophet to deliver his word to the king. That's what Elijah does. Ahab is the king, and God comes to Ahab with a word from God. Who sticks their nose in while God is communicating with his man, King Ahab, through the prophet Elijah? I'll tell you who. That spirit, Jezebel. I've taught, and if you don't get it this time, ask me sometime or wait till it's taught again. Jezebel is a spirit, not just a person. Anyone can be a Jezebel. It is the spirit of envy and jealousy and revenge that has overtaken a person. What are they? Envy, jealousy, and revenge makes you a Jezebel. Envy, jealousy, and revenge is a spirit that overtakes. The spirit of jealousy, envy, and revenge overtakes Ahab's wife, and her name is Jezebel. Jezebel lives today. Lives in relationships, lives in family structures, church assemblies, on jobs. Jezebel the spirit of what? Jealousy, envy, and revenge. Jezebel sent a messenger to God's prophet Elijah with jealousy, envy, and vengeance. And she said to God's man, "Let the gods do to me and more if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Let me translate that to you. Elijah, over my dead body, if I don't make you dead, I'm taking you out. I am taking you out. Look up for a moment. This is God's king's wife. Now, I'm not going to sit here and split hairs about what her problem is. Ahab has no backbone. I'm going to be careful with my describing him, but he pretty jelly back. Not because he has to be so chauvinistic with his wife, but he ought to be strong in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. And he takes a back seat. His wife takes the mic and sends a message to Ahab and tell him, "Ahab, if I don't kill you, let me be dead." Verse number 3, and when he saw that, they're talking about Elijah, he got up and he ran for his life. Now, look up one more time. This man just met them at Mount Carmel, took out everything that they sent up there. The battle at Mount Carmel. You all know when Elijah sat there and he called down fire from heaven and the fire consumed all this. God didn't, listen carefully. Purpose has been fulfilled at Mount Carmel, right? Yes. Elijah had a purpose at Mount Carmel. Stay with me, people. This is a teaching moment. Now something comes at him. A threat. This is why you have to know that purpose is what God is about to do next in my life. It's as though he just simply forgot what God just did so powerfully through him. Man, look at what you just did at Mount Carmel. You don't have to go back far. It's just back in chapter 18. This man just, they put all of the water and they built all of this and they did all of that. And Elijah single-handedly against all of these prophets of Baal, all of the powers of the adversary, the devil, Lucifer, Satan himself. And God took a single man call to heaven one time, and heaven sent enough fire to make the power of a nuclear blast in Hiroshima on Mount Carmel. They call their gods all day and all night, and Elijah never interfered with them. Y'all call them because y'all gonna need them. How can God, let me ask y'all a personal question. You can look me in my face when I ask you. How can God have did so many powerful, magnificent, supernatural things through you, and now you're going to doubt him and find yourself purposeless in life because some circumstance or some incident or somebody said something or somebody did something? Life is going to try to put you on the run. Purpose is what God is about to do next. When he got the message from Jezebel, this man should have blossomed. And I'm talking to myself now, because I'm just like Let me put myself in this. I'm just like Elijah. While I feel like I'm a very strong and stern man, I have tucked my tail between my legs and ran. Maybe you have too. But in building our relationship with God, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. I do not have to back up. I can stand firm and I can say, the God that I serve, He will. Jezebel sent a message to him. When he got the message, he arose, got up, and went for his life. Which direction did he go? He went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah. Now, I have taught in the past that at least when he runs, he doesn't run from God. He's running to a place where he knows God has been before. He's on his way to Mount Horeb. That's where Beersheba is in Judah. He went a day's journey into the wilderness. Somebody say he's running. Guess what God does when you run? Takes care of you while you're running. He gonna let you. Let me tell y'all what it's like in unto. Have y'all ever had one of them kids that's gonna have a fit on you in the middle of the floor? And somebody go down to help them and you told them, leave them alone, let them get it all out. Don't help them, just let them go ahead. You ever had one to cry and you tell them, cry? What did you say daddy used to tell y'all? The more you cry, the less you pee. Lord have mercy. You had to know what it's like. You know, it's just say, your head, have a tantrum, get it all out. So Elijah's having a tantrum and he's running. He's running in fear. Look at what God does. He went a day's journey, came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. Kill me now, Lord. This ain't Elijah. I thought this was Elijah. He's talking about you all, every one of us. Because all of us have had our juniper tree. Somebody say amen. Where we wanted to get there and just say, Lord, you know what? I give up. Come on, y'all, say amen. 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 I've been just like Elijah, right? Circumstance, you know, situations. Huh? I'm on the run. God, kill me now. He said, it's enough. I had it. Take away my life. He's saying it in a different way. He says, I'm here so that I might die. I had enough. Oh, Lord, take my life. I'm not better than my father's. Now he want to look at everybody else and he want to feel like, oh, he's just really taking himself out. Purpose, another point, is having the same opinion about your life that God has about your life. What did I just say? Be of the same opinion about my life as God has about my life. What did I teach you about Job? If God called you perfect, you don't have to call yourself perfect, but you can resound what God said. God said, I'm perfect and upright. You can say what God said. God says, I'm blessed. God says, I'm healed. Well, Don, looks like this is bad. I don't know if we're going to be able, there's no surgery that we can do to fix it. Well, okay. I don't disagree with you because you're a doctor and you're a medic, and I don't know all of that, but God told me I'm going to live. Now, did I dispute your findings? No. Nope. You say what you say. Because with all that you know, I will die. But being all that God knows, which is more than what you know, I say I'm going to live. I say what He say. Purpose is having the same opinion about yourself that God has about you. Teach Don. He sat there to die. I'm not better than my father's, but God already made you better than your father's, Elijah. Bro, you're doing more than any prophet ever did. I can see that. I've read that. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on coals and a cruse of water at his head. Somebody say supernatural. Right? Supernatural. It's here. Now, I'm not going to sit here again and break this all down. Was it really there or was it all in his mind? It doesn't make any difference. When he got finished, he wasn't hungry. He did eat and he drank and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him again. We didn't hear it go, but this is the second time. What's the subject of this? From revelation to manifestation. The Spirit of God had already said something to him. Even as he was running, he got a cake and a cruse of water. That's manifestation. Revelation has to come before manifestation. So somewhere there was a revelation, but notice we didn't hear it. Do you see where the Spirit of the Lord came to him the first time? Look at it and read. But you do read in verse number 7 that it came to him a second time to let you know that there was a what? A first time. Somebody say, from revelation to manifestation. What is the manifestation in this, in verse number 6? The water and the bread. Where's the revelation? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it, just like I didn't hear what God revealed to you. But I see the manifestation. I see his glory upon you. Came the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and he did eat, and he went in the strength of a meat for 40 days. Man, look up. Y'all be on all these keto diets. Name some more kind of diets. Carb, low carb, what else? Low sugar. Carnivore. Eat less. Imagine if God sent you on one of these where you ate one meal and went 40 days. Hold on, let me tell you. First, Lady Cassie say,
40 days of what?
40 days of what? Let me read it to you. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights without anything else after a single meal. It's all him. You know what I was craving yesterday, right, John? Boy, if I could have gone out last night and went and got some meat and had that grill hot, John would have been cooking it. Me and Cassie, we were sitting down and looking at pictures of when John cooked. All that, I mean, he had fried barbecue bologna. I sent him a picture of it. I said, man, what was you doing? Yes, Lord.
Working.
He said, doing what I love to do. Whew. But you all see that. I want you to see it. And then he made it to Horeb, which is called the mountain of God. If you're going to get on the run, please don't run from man. Stay with your mind set on God. That's what Elijah did. And he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, this is another one of those profound questions that God asked, just like he asked Adam in the Garden of Eden. Where are you? Now he asked Elijah, what are you doing here? I'm not going to call this rhetorical, because God don't ask rhetorical questions. And because he is omniscient, meaning that he's all-knowing, he doesn't ask questions that he need an answer to, because he knows everything. However, when you hear God asking you a question, it simply means that he's asking you to pay closer attention. Make sense? Why are you here, Elijah? Because you just fed me 40 days ago, or I'd be dead? I mean, I'm not getting smart, God, but I get it. Huh? I'm here because you sustained me. I'm here because you fed me. I'm full of purpose now. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I'm the only one that's left. Now, I want everybody to feel their own pity party in verse number 10, because we all had them. And remember where this is in the Bible. When you get ready to have a pity party, don't have yours. Just let the pity party that Elijah had speak for you. Ain't nobody left but me. Nobody cares. I've been there for everybody. Ain't nobody ever there for me. Okay, Elijah. I've been there all my life. I done did everything. Nobody's left but me. Y'all don't know anybody like this. Forever want to come. They want to get in. Now, they're not talking to someone else. He's talking to God. As though God really, nobody but you, Elijah. But at this moment, this is feelings. He in his feelings. Come on, y'all go ahead and say, Elijah's in his feelings. Deep. He really in his feelings. Break out the violin. Nobody left but me. I'm talking to somebody right now. You sitting there today and you getting this message right now. Let me tell you what God told me. I don't know what he's going to tell you, but when I was sitting on the back porch smoking chain Black and Miles, that's what I was doing. I was smoking Black and Miles hard, one after the other. I have come so depressed in my life till my wife is in the other room. This is some years ago. She depressed. She watching nothing but what's the channel? Lifetime movies, sitting in there in the bed, get up out of the bed, take a shower, and get back in the bed and watch some more Lifetime. I didn't realize that I had depressed my whole household. And I'm out on the back patio, and I'm sitting out there. I talk to the cat half the day. Then I smoke me another black. And I'm pacing, John. This is what I'm doing. I'm like sitting there, and I'm just doing this, and I'm just pacing. And I'm just like feeling sorry for myself. Doing the same thing he's doing. I'm just pacing. Ain't nobody left but me. And I done been here for these people all of these years. Ain't nobody here for me, and this is that, and this is that. And I got just the clearest message from God and the Holy Spirit and everything that I am. All 72 inches of my height, my existence, my weight, and everything. And God said, ain't nobody coming to rescue you. Nobody cares the way that I do. No one is coming to rescue you. What was that cul-de-sac house over there? 3204 Leafwood Place. I'm sitting in the most beautiful house in the cul-de-sac. Big 6,000 square foot home, God got me in, and I'm sitting there feeling sorry. Beautiful kids growing. They don't know, but you don't realize what pressure you're putting on your family when you start letting yourself sink into depression. Doing this, ain't nobody left but me. That's what he said in verse number 10. So God says, okay, I got a remedy for this. You done came up to this mountain, so why don't you go over there and you stand. And behold, the Lord passed by. And when God passed by, what happened? A strong wind. Somebody say manifestation. And it sandblasted the mountains, made them smooth like a diamond. And what's the next verse? Break it into pieces. But what? The Lord was not in the wind. Here's my preach moment. Did I just see all of that great manifestation and then hear the words that God was not in it? Yes, I did. Listen to me carefully. When it comes to manifestations and you see everybody around you making a come up, you see the power of God working all around you in what is happening to this nation, to this community, to this people, to this family member, to this friend. But you can't see God in it because of the state that you're in. So now you were already feeling bad.
And now you're starting to feel worse because it looks like everybody is making it but me. I've seen others get the same thing and they seem to just spring back, but for me, it seems like I'm just here. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. And then what does it say? God wasn't in that either. What do you mean God wasn't in it? God, you in everything. And after the earthquake, a fire. But what? God wasn't in it. Look up at me. The things that you see going on around you, all around you in the world, you got to remember what I told you Revelation was in the very beginning. It's concerning you and the world in which you live. God can operate in everything and everybody around you. And the reason that you don't see God in it is because God has something very special just for you. Don't be thrilled by the exciting, explosive, phenomenal presentations that God perform around and then look back at your life and say, poor little me. Sit there in expectation because God is about to burst forth in the grandest of manifestations. I'm talking to you right here because what he has for you is going to be tailor-made specifically for. I brought you here riding upon the back of feeling sorry for yourself. I humored you and let you go ahead and have your moment. I let you get it out. Oh, I knew you were going to be mad at me. I knew you were going to be ticked off. What did you take my loved one for? What did you let my baby get sick? All of these things could have happened to anybody, but God, you let this happen to me. And you feel like, how could this happen? God let you ride right in on all of your sadness, on all of your grief. You ride in on all of your disappointment. You rode in here on all of everything that could have went wrong. God let you come in here on the back of that. And then when you got here on it, he let you see what he was doing all around you. For you to know, when I get ready to do what I'm about to do in your life, you will never be the same. Elijah, when you were on Mount Carmel, I showed myself strong. But I knew that that was only going to last for a while because, after all, you've come to know me and what I can do. And you know that each time that I come through, I'm talking to somebody now. When I come through, it's always like, God, I thought I already knew what you could do. But now I see you in a whole different light. I've known you as one that can make a headache go away. I've known you as one that can soothe my stomach and cause a crick in my joints to go away. But God, I've never been this close to death. Riding in on the pain, the words of the medical staff and labs and reports. But I didn't know that you could really let me live true to life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows. That's the revelation right there when he wrote it to you and told you in the 23rd Psalm. Somebody say that's revelation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death. Somebody say that means that I've gotten closer than I've ever been because
In order for me to get in your shadow, I can't stand over here, Cassie. Tracy, I can't stand here and get in your shadow. That means that death has come close to me. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, guess what's going to happen? I'm close, but I'm not going to fear. Come, y'all with me here. Y'all with me here. God has something special for you, because each experience that you have becomes an opportunity for God to reveal himself in a way that you have not known him before. Now, I have known God as a young, exuberant, vivacious preacher. And I have known him to get inside of me, and I'm talking about when he show up, he shows out. You know what I'm saying? Y'all do understand what I'm saying. And I have felt the power of God rest upon me, so much so that it's like, how can this really be happening? That's when I say, I've said to you that you think you're watching me preaching. I have watched my own self preach. I have had out-of-body experiences where I'm standing on the outside watching what God is doing on the inside. But I have not known that God to let a man get 60 in 7 years old. Now, wait a minute. I miss. What's 20? What's 10 years? Is that, what's the score? 20 or 10? Help me. That's what I thought it was. So I'm 60. That's 60, y'all. Plus 7. But I have not known that God could come in like this. Y'all got to understand what I'm saying, because I'm getting to know him in a whole different kind of way now. And let me tell y'all how he's revealing himself now. He's telling me the same thing that he told David, and I'm just sharing with you. This is my testimony now. He says, Don, you've run through the valleys and you ran up the mountains. Yes. But when you heard David declare that you are the rose of Sharon and you are the lily of the valley, you know what he was saying? He's saying, you need to sometime notice that just as I am the rose of Sharon, meaning that you are God in the mountain, keep rolling. Tell your neighbor, keep rolling. Because you're going to have a valley moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm the lily in, oh God, the valley too. Uh-huh. So you can tell your neighbor, no matter where I am, God shows himself strong. Come on, somebody. Because through revelation, he causes himself to be fully understood. And here's my close on this. If you haven't seen God work in nobody's life, I dare you to watch me. Mm-hmm. And let me tell y'all something. I ain't talking about what I can do, but I know a God. Uh-huh. Y'all, shucks, y'all. This feels good to me. Oh, I know a God. And you can't know him for me, Janet. You got to know him for... And then somebody say, when I think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, mm-hmm, my hands go up. And I say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Uh-huh. Because what he did for me, he may not have done for you. But what he did for you, you ought to throw up holy hands and say, Lord, Lord, oh God, I thank you. Uh-huh. I need somebody to have a moment right now. I done taught y'all. So now just let me just have a minute right now, because when I talk about from revelation to manifestation every day of my life, somebody gets to look at Don and say, truly, surely, there is a God somewhere. Not because of what I said or what I have, but because they can stand on the outside and they can look in here and they can say, surely, truly, there is a God somewhere. Come on, y'all stand up for one moment, and then I'm going to get on out of here. And I just want y'all to walk out of here. And as you're going your way, it's only three or four more days to Christmas, and I promise y'all, you don't have to wait to the 25th, because the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, somebody say, he's already here. Oh, yeah. Every day of my life, oh, yes, I give birth to a new Christ. Come on, somebody. And he is called the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. That's where the body of Christ lives daily in me. Come on, y'all. And I need y'all. I need every one of y'all to remember this as you're going in. And I know y'all needed a Christmas message, so I'm going to give y'all one today. You go ahead and say, Lord, I thank you. Come on, Lord, I thank you. Let me tell y'all what the enemy's doing now. He wants you to think that you can't do what you used to do because you don't have what you used to have. But you tell your neighbor, you're right, because I got more now than I did then. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Come on, somebody. I have more now. Why are y'all missing this? Because I can do more without what I have, with what God gives me. Yes, I can. From revelation to manifestation. The power of God in my life. He can do more with what you don't have if you look to him for what he does have. He do it. He will do it. Will he not? Will he do it? As I spoke, it was clear to me what's about to happen right now. I want every contribution. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Starting with gifts that you have in your pocket right now, checks or whatever else. Jock went through a serious surgery. Can I say what it was? Triple bypass 3 months ago. That man has not worked. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we gonna give him in this room, through this church, online and in this building, we gonna give to this family today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Just that quick. Just that quick. I looked in this man's face and all I could hear God say was just give to this man. He ain't asked for nothing. And he ain't gonna feel no bad way because it's like no handout. He's seeing the power of God unfold right here, right now. That's what I wanna do. I wanna do that right here. We wanna go all across the globe and put some food in somebody's mouth. And we don't even want to drive cross town, but you're going to send some dollars and feed some people in another country. And you got people that are right here around you every day that need you. You don't have to look. You don't have to look far to give. Amen. And find what God wants you to do. What you do, and people that are online, there is a place in there where it says what that gift is designated to, so that it can be different from your tithe and your offering. And you put Tapscott, if you can't spell it, TAPSCOTT, Tapscott. And I will make sure, if you don't have it now, I will make sure that it gets to Jock and Keisha and their children before this week is out. And that's what I want to do. This is above your tithe and your offering. Give what you're going to give in your contribution, and then we're going to give to this family. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to do. Maybe that's why the Lord had me see you cooking that meat last night, because he was going today touch you with this. Because, man, I sat and I watched those pictures. We have been together longer than I forgot that we had been. We were having the thing out in the, eating out in our auditorium. Y'all see those pictures. They're hilarious. I was going to post them. Cassie said, don't post pictures, people. They're thy pictures. But we were having fun. And I want to do that today. I want to give to Jock and his family.
And that's what I want you to do. As I'm leaving you today, we're going to leave this session of Revelation to Manifestation with giving to this family. And that's what I want you to do. Go ahead and start those gifts happening. You know how to do it. If you don't know how to do it, contact the person that you know at Nations Harvest and tell them what you want to do, and they'll make sure it happens. Cassie is there. Tracy's there. Janet's there. April's there. Gloria's there. Taffany's there. All of these people that you know. Regina is there. Eddie's there. You reach out to these people, and you let them know what you want to do, and let's bless this family. All right? Amen. Amen. From Revelation to Manifestation. I want you to see it in Elijah's life. I hope that his experience is going to be something that becomes illuminating in your life. It's okay that you're having the pity party, but the party is over. The lights is out. It's time for you to move on and live in full purpose. What God is about to do in you next, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men. God bless you. It has been my joy to be here with you this Sunday. Look forward to seeing you on the first Sunday in January. We will not be here next Sunday, and we will not be on the air. So we won't see you next Sunday. Enjoy this period of week. Cassie and I are going to enjoy ours. I have no idea what we're about to do, but I know we got 2 weeks to do it. Right now, it looks like we're going to be doing a lot of nothing. Amen. We got up and got ready yesterday just to go turn and turn right back home and do nothing for all night. So we have a lot of nothing. But we got plans to go somewhere. We just don't know because we don't have no kids. It's so much fun to be in an empty nest. It is just beautiful. Can't tell you where we're going to go after church today because y'all might follow us, but we're going to eat somewhere, and we're gonna surprise somebody. We're going to eat today because I know that they cooked a traditional kind of meal today for Christmas because they ain't going to do it on Christmas Day. So we're going somewhere to eat, but we can't tell you all where we're going to enjoy ourselves. Y'all enjoy yourselves. I love you. Merry Christmas to you all. Don't forget the Tapscott family. I love y'all. I pray y'all love me. This has been an awesome year. I celebrated my wife when she closed this daycare down on Friday. I say, girl, you did it again. You did 2024 like a champ. Amen. Her, Tat, Alina, and Ty, I tell you, and Mother Patterson, they be showing out down here at this daycare. But it's a wrap now. That sister is true for the rest of this year. The Lord told her to claim a whole extra week. She ain't just closed down for Christmas. She closed next week too. And told the parents, don't call me, don't say nothing. I don't want no Christmas pictures of your children, nothing. Y'all enjoy them. I have put up with them for all of 2024. Enjoy your children. Amen. But she has closed a whole extra week. Amen. With pay. Bless your heart. Amen. So I love you. I celebrate you. And you are always prayed for from your church family. Amen. Amen. And lifting you up. We love you. Joel, I hope you were there today. I love you, son. I text all of my sons this morning. I love them. Love my boys. I love my children, but my boys today needed a word from me. God bless you. I look to see you all next Sunday or Sunday after next. Someone said, Sentin said, is there any amount? There's no specific amount. God will touch your heart. Just love this family with your monetary gifts.